On first arriving in Cambridge, Washington had been offered the home of the president of Harvard, Samuel Langdon, for his residence. But finding it too cramped for his needs and those of his staff, his military family, the general moved a few days later to one of the largest, most elegant houses in town, a gray clapboard Georgian mansion half a mile from the college on the King's Highway. 3 stories tall, with an unobstructed view of the Charles River, it belonged to a wealthy loyalist, John Vassal, who, fearing for his life and the lives of his family, had abandoned the place, fine furnishings and all, to take refuge in Boston. For Washington, who had a fondness for handsome architecture and river views, the house suited perfectly and would serve as his command headquarters through the siege, with his office established in a drawing room off the front hall. The house became a hive of activity, with people coming and going at all hours. It was there that Washington conferred with his highest-ranking officers, convened his councils of war, and with staff help, coped with numberless problems of organization, issued orders, and labored over correspondence, paperwork without end, letters to Congress, appeals to the governors of the New England states and the legislature of Massachusetts. There, too, he received or entertained local dignitaries and politicians and their wives, always in elegant fashion, as was both his pleasure and part of the role he felt he must play. And as with everything connected with that role, his uniform, the house, his horses and equipage, the military dress and bearing of his staff, appearances were of great importance. A leader must look and act the part. As apparent to all, His Excellency was in the prime of life. A strapping man of commanding presence, he stood 6 feet 2 inches tall and weighed perhaps 190 pounds. His hair was reddish-brown, his eyes gray-blue, and the bridge of his prominent nose unusually wide. The face was largely unlined, but freckled and sun-beaten, and slightly scarred by smallpox. A few defective teeth were apparent when he smiled. He carried himself like a soldier and sat a horse like the perfect Virginia gentleman. It was the look and bearing of a man accustomed to respect and to being obeyed. He was not austere. There was no hint of arrogance. Amiable and modest were words frequently used to describe him. And there was a softness in his eyes that people remembered. Yet he had a certain distance in manner that set him off from, or above, others.